Morning. Today's daf in Bamisir's daf Membav. I thank Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lanzech and Ishmael Libig Arvila Bashmol. We are on Mem Hamad Beis. We are starting today with the Gemara Itmar Rav Levi. Okay. Today we are starting the discussion of Kinyan Chalipin. This is it. This is the couple of dapim and shas that really tackled the issue head on. And so, just a couple of words of introduction before we start with the Gemara. We know that there are various forms of kinyan, and we've been discussing it since the beginning of the fourth parak of Bamitzia. When I acquire metaltalin, movable items, so the way that the method of kinyan is mashicha. I take it and I pull the item towards me. Or hagba'ah, or mesira, depending on what the item actually is. But generally speaking, the easiest way to say it, and the most succinct way to say it, is that when it comes to metaltalin, so I do mashicha. When it comes to karka, so then I do kinyan kasef, or chazaka, or shtar. But basically, again, as per the Mishnah in the Gemara in Kiddushin, the first parak of Kiddushin, so there are varied methods of kinyanim. And generally speaking, in terms of how to categorize, so there are basically two different categories. There's metaltalin, and then there's karka. And generally speaking, there's no overlap between the two. Meaning that for metaltalin, mashicha, for karka, there's chazaka, shtar, and kesef. However, there is a method of kinyan which we refer to all the time throughout Shas, and that's what's called kinyan chalipin, or another term that's used to describe it is kinyan sudar, where basically it is not an actual exchange of money for item or money for property, but basically what we're going to do is that we're going to ratify the kinyan by me giving you any item of value. Now, I said any item of value. You'll see that's not going to be perfectly clear as we go through the discussion today, the Gemara today. But I give you any item of value and a handkerchief, anything, and you take the handkerchief. You're going to end up giving it back to me anyway in just a moment. But that's going to ratify the deal. That's going to concretize the kinyan that's made between me and you. The Rav does it when he sells the chametz. Yeah. The truth of the matter is that when you are going over to the Rav, you're not selling your chametz to the Rav. You're just simply you're designating him as an agent. But yes, in other words, even that designation of him as an agent is done through kinyan chalipin. Okay, so it is a method in which you are creating a kinyan.
Is this fair to say it's like an handshake?
It's, yeah. In other words, I think it's very fair to say. The handshake is a way of ratifying. This is a way of ratifying.
So you're the symbolic act that ratifies.
Correct.
So
absolutely correct.
You're really not selling. You're ratifying. Absolutely agreed.
It's really more than anything else, just a concretization of the fact that we are in agreement. We're in a binding agreement. I totally agree with that. With that thought, so this is what we're going to be starting with today, and so let's get right into it. One more word of introduction. One of the things that will become obvious as we go through the Gemara over here is that kinyan sudar is a hybrid, meaning that it can work for both metaltalin and it can work for karka as well. And that's what it becomes like now, a universal means of kinyanim, and it's what makes it unique. Itmar, the Gemara on Mem Hamad Beis, starts off the discussion with the following: Rav Levi Chadamar Matbea Nase Chalipin, VeChadamar Ein Matbea Nase Chalipin. Okay, the source in the Torah for Chalipin is Sefer Rus. Okay, it's Navi. It's not the Torah, but still, it's not even Navi. It's Ksuvim. It's in the third section of Tanakh. But still, it's the Navi. It's a short sefer, Megillas Rus, for Prakim, and in the fourth parak of Megillas Rus, so we see that there was a kinyan that was done. Ploni Amoni was given the opportunity to both acquire the land and redeem the land, and also marry the widow of his cousin. He demurs. No, thank you. She's from Moab. I'd rather not. And so then Boaz does the kinyan, and the Navi actually gives us a very clear picture in terms of that a shoe was transferred from one party to another. Although to be fair, and we're going to be discussing this tomorrow and Sunday, it doesn't say whose shoe was given. The Gemara is going to attack that later on. But a shoe was transferred from one party to another. conquered. Now, obviously, the shoe is not going to be the transfer. It's not going to be the monetary payment for the item. The shoe is just a form of concretizing that we are now in a binding agreement, and you're going to give me the property, and you're going to give me rus, and I will give you whatever the cost is. Okay, so that is the source in the Torah. We are now discussing, well, can you use money as the kinyan chalipin? Can money affect the chalipin? Take a look at the Rashi over here. Matbea nase chalipin. Rashi writes, if I'm exchanging money for an item, but I'm not doing so as an exchange, meaning it's not that I'm using the money as a way of acquiring, but rather the money is actually being the means of acquisition. Now, if this isn't clear, let me try to put this in other terms. Remember the Mishnah we did a couple days ago? The Mishnah says that I'm doing a transfer of gold coins with silver coins, and Let's just focus on the Mishnah. The gold coin is a commodity. The silver coin is a currency. Okay, that's the position in the Mishnah. Let's just assume that that's so. Like we said back in the Mishnah, when I take the gold coin, I'm taking the commodity. That's it. Transaction completed. I owe the money, of course, but transaction completed. If, let's say, we were to work in the reverse, where I take the silver coin, so the transaction's not completed. Why? Because the silver coin is the currency, not the commodity, and just because I pull the currency is not going to be enough. Right now, what the Gemara now is entertaining, and this is what Rashi's speaking to, is that I'm not using the coin as an actual currency. Do you know what I'm using the coin as? I'm using the coin like a handkerchief. The coin is now going to serve as a way of ratifying that the kinyan is being made. So the question now in the Gemara is, can I do that? Can I use a coin not as currency, but as a handkerchief?
What's the nafkamina?
The nafkamina is going to be, is that if it's a currency, the kinyan's not been completed. If it's a handkerchief, the kinyan's been completed. That's a very big nafkamina. So the Gemara, and let me just read the Rashi. So habalach l'mabeah b'davar achish l'betoros mekocho memkar l'betoros kinyan. So I'm going to use the money, I'm going to use the coinage now as an actual kinyan, not as money. Kiderech shekonin besudar, just like a handkerchief. Shekonin osin sudar l'makna, because what happens is that the one who is acquiring gives it to the one who is selling. V'hu makna lo hakarka o metatlin b'meshicha. And now with that handkerchief, you are going to be getting whatever we're transacting. And Rashi over here writes, it could be land, it could be movables. Like I said a moment ago, it is a universal means of acquisition using kinyan seder. Shu Moshe chasuda kidichsiv shalaf ishna lovin asan lereyu. And he quotes the pasuk from Rus. Af matdebeya shalaf abishashaninu nasan lo maos v'lo mashachem enoperos. Now, yes, we learned in the Mishnah that if you give money and you haven't taken the pairs, yachol achzabo. So you could be chozer, because using currency as a method of kinyan does not concretize a deal. Hani milakish nasa b'toros damen. That's when you're giving the money as currency. Kiderech mekoch memkar. Avalim nasa b'toros chalipim. But if you're using it like a handkerchief, kevin shemashach zeh, samaos nikna lo achefesh shalom b'chomakum shehu. So if you're using the money like a handkerchief, so that should concretize the deal. So the question now on the table, the debate we're having right now in the Gemara is, yes or no? Can I use money not as currency, but as like a handkerchief, in order to concretize a deal? Can money serve as a mechanism of kinyan seder? So the Gemara says it's a machlokas. Rabban Levi, chadamar matbea nasa chalipin, v'chadamar ein matbea nasa chalipin. And now the Gemara is going to explain. Now, Amra, Papa, my time demand Amra ein matbea nasa chalipin. So Rapapa explains the latter position, not the former position. And I would suggest, because the former position actually is pretty clear. Let's consider, if I can use a handkerchief, or basically any item of value, as a means of concretizing a deal, you don't think I could use money? In other words, it's a pretty simple argument that any item could be used, so money could be used as well. So let's explain now the position of Ein Matbeah Naaseh Chalipin. So the Gemara says like this, Mishum D'Daita Etzerasa, because when it's money that's being exchanged, so when you're looking at money, so what are you thinking about? So the Gemara says, D'Daita Etzerasa, you're thinking about the mint. You're thinking about the form that's on the money. Meaning that when we're talking about money, I don't really look at money in terms of its intrinsic value. I look at money as a currency. In other words, a currency is a different category, it's a different animal than just any other item. Any other item has the intrinsic value of just simply being an item, a value. But when it comes to money, I view money as currency. Currency is different. And so why is that going to negate its usage as chalipin? The Gemara goes on to explain. Vitsurasa vida debatla. And what happens is that we know that currency, as good as it is, it's got a significant deficiency. And that is that it's currency, but it's not going to last that long. Meaning, again, we go back to a time where currencies become defunct, they become voided when you have a new leader. The new leader is going to mint new coins, and so the old coin is basically going to now no longer be in circulation. So basically now, I can use a handkerchief for kinyasid, but I can't use money. And the difference is because a handkerchief is going to have its retained intrinsic value in perpetuity, as long as the handkerchief's around. But when it comes to money, yes, money on one hand is great. On the other hand, we also know that it is temporary. And so the Gemara says, and that's why, that is the explanation of why a coin cannot be used as a kinyan seder. Tanan, the Gemara now is going to test whether or not the Mishnayos support one position over another. Hazav Kona Sekesef. So let's take a look at our Mishnah, when our Mishnah says that gold acquires silver. Okay? And again, we already know the classic and the accepted explanation of the Mishnah. Gold acquires silver. Gold is commodity. Silver is a currency. And when I pull the commodity, so that it finalizes the deal. Okay, that's the accepted explanation. What the Gemara now is going to suggest is another explanation. So right now what the Gemara thinks is that, oh, you know how it works? It works, meaning the gold coin is basically serving as a handkerchief. So the Gemara says, lo, bedamim. No, the Gemara says, no, that's not the explanation of the Mishnah. The explanation of the Mishnah is what I just provided, that the gold coin is a commodity. So the Gemara says, and the silver is now going to be serving as a way of paying for the commodity. So to which the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, then I don't like the choice of language in the Mishnah. Because if you're right, if we're talking about damim, so then the language of the Mishnah should be chayiv. Let's consider. When I take the gold coin, now I do what with the silver coin? The silver coin isn't immediately transferred over to you. I owe you the silver coin. I owe you the silver coin. If the Mishnah wanted to reflect that understanding, the Mishnah should have said chayiv. The Mishnah didn't say chayiv. The Mishnah uses the word kinyan. Kinyan seems to indicate that there's an immediate transfer of the gold to the silver owner and from the silver to the gold owner. If there's an immediate transfer, that's speaking to kinyan suitor. That's not speaking to a monetary transaction. So the Gemara says, Tani Azav Mechayev. So the Gemara says, okay, the wording is what bothers you? So that's how you learn the Mishnah. When you learn the Mishnah, if you don't like the word Kona, use the word Mechayev. Now, I'm not sure if right now the Gemara is actually editing the Mishnah or just simply refining our understanding of the Mishnah. But the Gemara is basically saying, don't get caught up in the word Kona. It means that when I pull the gold, I now owe you the silver. Hakinam and Mistab, the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what. Of course this is the right pshat. Because Midiktani Seif HaKasav Eino Kona Sezahav. Because look at the very next line of the Mishnah. Next line tells us that if, let's say, we're doing the same transaction, but what I'm doing now is I want to buy your gold and I'm giving you silver. Again, the silver is the currency. The gold is a commodity. And so when I give you the silver, that doesn't ratify the deal. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, again, the Gemara is going to make a fantastic point. So if we go with our classic explanation that gold is commodity, silver is a currency, the pulling of the silver is where you're taking the currency, and that does not complete the deal. So the Gemara says, so then I understand the Mishnah. But if we're talking about kinyan chalipin, so then what difference does it make whether the gold coin is serving like a handkerchief or whether the silver coin is serving as a handkerchief? If kinyan chalipin is the method of what the Mishnah is using, so then either way it should work. It's such a strong question. So the Gemara says, Votanya. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you another reason why it's very difficult, because let's consider now a Braisa. Now the Braisa is speaking to the same basic idea. But the Brisa over here is just going to be a little bit more elaborate than the Mishnah was. Hakesef in akonas hazahav, that silver does not acquire gold. Keitzad, machalo asvim v'chamisha dinarim shal kesef bedina shal zahav. It's a nice equivalent exchange of one gold coin for 25 silver coins, which, as we learned in yesterday's daf, is the exchange rate. Afa pisha mashach es hakesef, even though you took the silver coins, lo kanas achim shal kesef zahav. The one who's buying the gold does not acquire the gold until he actually takes the gold. Okay, it's really the same point that we learned back in the Mishnah, but the Brisa over here is extremely detailed, and this now really puts a damper on our question of whether or not coins could be used as chalipin. And the Gemara articulates, so look, if we're talking about damim, where the silver is serving as currency and the gold is serving as a commodity, now I totally understand. When you pull the silver, the transaction is not completed. Why? Because you don't acquire with money. Money by itself does not create an acquisition. It's the pulling of the commodity that creates the acquisition. The Gemara says, I understand. However, but if we're talking about where the acquisition is through chalipin, so the Gemara says, but if it's chalipin, the kinyan should be affected immediately. Because we're not treating the silver like a currency. You're treating the silver like a handkerchief. So the Gemara says, "Alamai bedamim." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so what did you like? You like the pshat of damim?" So ihachiem a reisha azav kones a kesef ketsabachalod dina shalzav besvim v'chamisha dinam shal kesef. Now we're going to go the other direction, where again it's the same one gold coin for 25 coins for 25 silver coins, but now we're talking about the pulling of the gold coin. Kevin shemashal chazav nikna kesef. Once you pull the gold coin, the silver coins are acquired. And again, we all know why. The gold coin is a commodity. The silver coin is a currency. So b'chol makom. And wherever it is you acquire. Now, if we're talking about kinyan chalipin, so you see the language of the Braisa, kona, meaning the transaction is finalized. But the Gemara says, but if we're talking about damim, what do you mean you acquired the silver? You didn't acquire the silver. You owe me the silver. It's basically the same question that we asked back on the Mishnah. But here, though, the Brisa is actually more articulate and more detailed, meaning you acquired the silver wherever the silver should be. Again, if we're talking about a kinyan damim, a classic currency for commodity exchange, so you didn't acquire the silver. The silver is simply owed to you. So Amar Ravashi lolam bedamim. So Ravashi says, no, we're going to stay on point. Really, it's a kinyan damim. It's not a kinyan chalipim. It's a classic currency for commodity exchange. And my b'chol makom shehu. And as far as the language of the Brisa is concerned, kamo shehu. So that it means as follows. It means that I owe you the silver. As far as the usage of the language of Kone, Kidamrale, it means like this. I owe you silver coins. But I owe you the silver coins in the way that I presented that I'm going to pay you. Meaning, Amrale Marniki Chadash Yavin Allah, Lamati Yayev Le Marniki Yeshana. Let's say that when I made the promise that I'm going to give you silver coins for the gold coins, and yes, it's true. The silver coins are a currency. We're not talking about a kinyan chalipin over here. And yes, it's true. I owe you the silver coins. You didn't acquire the silver coins. But when we made the promise that we are going to, let me not use the word promise. When we made the commitment that I'm going to sell you the gold coin for the silver coins, I told you that I was going to give you new silver coins. And the story now is that I got to give you new silver coins. Meaning you don't acquire any particular silver coin of mine. Of course I owe you the silver coins, but because I said I was going to give you new ones, I have to give you new ones. And the reason why is because the counter argument is, you told me you're going to give me new silver coins, and now you have to give me new silver coins. And I was expecting it, because silver tarnishes over time, and so what's going to happen is that if you give me old silver coins, they're already tarnished, and I wasn't planning on spending them anytime soon, and so really it's going to get even more tarnished. So therefore I want the new silver coins with the understanding that they're going to stay by me for some time. Okay, I'm Rav Papa. So where do we stand right now in the Gemara? Machlokes between Rav and Levi, whether or not a coin could be used as chalipin. The Navi in Sefer Rus uses a description of a shoe, so we know that certainly you can use kalim, a handkerchief, any item, tie, you can use any item for the mechanism of what creates chalipin. Can I use a coin itself? So it's a machlok between Rav and Levi. And the Gemara does not take a definitive position at the end, but certainly supports and defends that neither the Mishnah nor the Braisa is going to weigh in on this topic, because the Mishnah and the Braisa are not talking about chalipin. The Mishnah and Braisa are talking about a classic currency for commodity exchange, kinyan damin. Amar Rav Papa. We're now towards the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Beis, continuation of the discussion. So the Gemara says like this. Look, Rav Papa is going to make the following argument. Let's say that money can't be used as chalipin, meaning it cannot serve as the handkerchief in order to affect the kinyan. However, it could be the item of exchange through chalipin. So that means to say that even if I'm going to maintain the position that the money can't affect the kinyan, it could be the item where it's going to be purchased through chalipin. Now, have Rav Papa says, and how do I know that? Because me didn't have a payre. Because the Gemara says, let's think about it. It should be no different than fruit. Li Rav Nachman. According to Rav Nachman, Peir la Rav Nachman la vavagav di inu lo avde chalipin iknui makdem chalipin tivanami loshna. And look, we don't know this yet, but we're going to see later this morning, and we're going to see this tomorrow as well, that according to Rav Nachman, I can only use a kinyan chalipin that has the status of a kli. Why? Again, we go back to Sefer Rus. Sefer Rus describes a na'al, a shoe. A shoe is a kli. So according to Rav Nachman, it has to be a kli to affect chalipin. And it cannot be a non-kli. Now, the Gemara keeps using the term in this context, pri, which is a food. Food is just an example of anything that's not a kli. Now, we know that according to Rav Nachman, I can't use fruit to affect the kinyan. But let's say I want to use kinyan chalipin to buy fruit. Of course, according to Rav Nachman, it's going to work. So what Rav Papa is arguing now is that money should be no different. Even though I can't use money to affect a kinyan chalipin, but I could use kinyan chalipin to buy money. The Gemara says, not so fast. So meitzvei. We're in the very bottom now of the Amud. Haya omid begorin vein biyado ma'os. Let's say you're in the granary and right now you don't have money. Okay, let me give a brief introduction before we start this Mishnah, before we learn this Mishnah together. Again, we talked about this just yesterday. We get to remind ourselves once again today. By mice or sheni, so I am either going to take the food itself to Yerushalayim and eat the food in Yerushalayim, or most probably, I'm going to be mechala. I'm going to redeem the mice or sheni onto money, and then I'm going to take the money and bring it to Yerushalayim and spend the money in Yerushalayim. Okay, good. We just discussed this yesterday. Here's something we did not discuss yesterday, which is an important detail. When I redeem my own Maaser Sheni, the Torah says that I have to redeem it with a surcharge. Meaning that, let's say I'm redeeming $100 worth of Maaser Sheni that's in my house, that I own. So I have to redeem it for $125. So there is a 25% surcharge. The Torah describes it as chamishis, which is a fifth, which is 20%. But between us friends, it's really 25%. For if you want the math to be explained to you better, come to me later. Anyway, so I need to spend $125. So I don't want to spend $125. I only want to spend $100 in terms of redeeming it. So we're going to now discuss a little bit of subterfuge, harama. Okay, the harama issue in the Gemara is obviously a delicate topic. It's a touchy topic, meaning that sometimes, here's an occasion, sometimes the Chachamim endorse, they sign off on a little bit of subterfuge. Here's an example. And so what I'm going to do is that I know that if the Maaser Sheni belongs to me and I were to redeem it, so I'm going to have to redeem it now with a 25% tack on surcharge. So here's what I'll do. You know what? I'll give you the money and you'll redeem my Maaser Sheni. Okay. And now when you're redeeming my Maaser Sheni, I'm not redeeming it with my money. You're redeeming it with your money. Granted, you received the money from me, but I gave it to you as a full gift. It's your money. And therefore, you're going to redeem my Maaser Sheni money. That last sentence I want to edit. You're going to redeem my Maaser Sheni payros with now what is your money. Now, obviously, we're all looking at this and we all realize, come on. It's not his money, meaning it's my money, and I just gave it to him because I wanted to excuse myself from the 25% surcharge. We all understand that, and this is one of the times in the Gemara where harama, where subterfuge is endorsed. Promoted, let's not go that far, but certainly accepted. Okay. With that stated, the Mishnah and Maaser Sheni is now going to be discussed the following scenario. I want to use a subterfuge, but right now I currently don't have any money on me. I have money at home, but right now I don't have any money on me. And I want to now go through the subterfuge. Just right now, I just don't have money. So you know what I'll do? Instead of giving you the money, what I'll do is I'll give you the actual Maaser Sheni fruit. And then what I'll do is that I'll go home and I'll redeem it with my money that's at home. And obviously now it's not my Maaser Sheni, I gave it away. Okay. So this is what the Mishnah Maaser Sheni is going to be discussing. Haya Omeid, we're on the very bottom of the Amud. Haya Omeid Begorin, you're in your grain of vein, be'ad amas, and right now you don't have any money. So Omeid L'chaver, Ari Peis Alana, Sinulach Mematana. So like I just described a moment ago, I'm going to give you the fruit. And then what I'll do is, hey, you see that fruit over there? So that fruit is over there is going to be redeemed by the money that I have in my house. Wonderful. And so what the Mishnah Maaser Sheni is describing is that the subterfuge can be done in one of two ways. Either I give you the money and you redeem my Maaser Sheni, or I'll give you the Maaser Sheni and then I'll redeem it with my money. Now, once we're... Yeah, that's a great question. Meaning that it's a question amongst the Tanaim whether it's Mamon Gavor or Mamon Hedjo. So if it's Mamon Hedjo, so then it's a no-brainer. Then for sure you could do it. If it's Mamon Gavoa, so then I was thinking about your question as well. So then it gets a little bit trickier. Meaning, hey, if it's Mamon Gavoa, so then how can you give it to somebody else? And I don't have right now a good answer to your question, but okay. I was thinking the same thing. So on the Gemara, we're in the very top of Mem Vav Aleph. After having learned the Mishnah together, the Gemara now says, wait 1 second. Now, let's work with the following assumption. Rashi says it. The Gemara, it's clear the Gemara thinks this way. Of the two different ways that we could do harama, where either I can give you the money and you'll redeem my Maaser Sheni, or I'll give you the Maaser Sheni and I'll redeem it with my money, it'd be better, it'd be less... aggressive, that's not the right word. That's better. It'd be less obvious that we are clearly trying to circumvent the surcharge if I gave you the money as if I gave you to the if I gave you the Maaser Sheni. And I kind of understand that. Meaning that here, if I'm giving you the Maaser Sheni, we're clearly, they're both obviously looking to evade the 25% surcharge. So, but if I'm giving you the Maaser Sheni, it's so obvious. Meaning, it's my Maaser Sheni. I'm giving it away. It's slightly, I understand we're talking in degrees over here. It's slightly less obvious if I gave you the money and I'm still retaining the Maaser Sheni, and now you with, quote unquote, your money. Now, again, it is your money. I gifted you the money. But you with your money now redeeming my Maaser Sheni, it's a little less obvious. So, it'd be better if you had the money and you redeemed it, and you redeemed my Maaser Sheni with your money, rather than what the Mishnah Maaser Sheni is advocating, which is I'm going to give you the Maaser Sheni, and then I'll redeem it with my money. So with that assumption in mind, now let's go forward in the Gemara. What was the problem in the Mishnah Maaser Sheni? I currently didn't have any money on my possession to give over to you. The Gemara says, really? That's such a problem? Why don't we do a kinyan of my money to you? And how are we going to do that kinyan? Through kinyan seder. Meaning, why didn't the Mishnah Maaser Sheni think about that? That's where we're headed. So the Gemara says, "Ha im yesh biyado maos litna lehu leidach memeshicha uparik dahacha adif." So the Gemara now says, why don't I just transfer over the money? And the Gemara says, it's better, dahava le nachri, because now he is a stranger to me. Meaning, as Rashi says, it's just simply less harama instead of giving you the Maaser Sheni, I give you the money. So now the Gemara turns all of its attention to Rav Papa. Rav Papa, you said that even if I can't affect Kinyan Chalipin with money, but I can transfer money through Kinyan Chalipin. So according to you, Niknele Maus Lahaich, Agav Sudar, Velifrok. So why don't we use a Kinyan Sudar so that my money now becomes yours, and now you can you can redeem my Maaser Sheni with your money? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, Delefle Sudr. So the Gemara says, well, right now he doesn't have a Kenyan Sudr. He doesn't have a handkerchief. Now that is admittedly a really difficult answer. Not having a Kenyan, not having a Sudr to do Kenyan Sudr means that right now, what, you don't have a tie? Right, you don't have a jacket? It's understand, it's a really difficult answer that the guy sitting in the granary right now does not have anything to use Kenyan Sudr with. V'nignani alei agav karka. So the Gemara says, okay, why don't we use another Kenyan, which is called Kenyan Agav? So the Gemara says, delei slei karka. Well, the guy in the granary right now doesn't have property as well. So v'ha ome begorin kitani. So he's sitting in his granary. Let's listen carefully. He's sitting in his granary and he doesn't have property. What? That's really difficult to imagine. So the Gemara says, Begorin Shein Shalot. The Gemara says, well, it's not his granary. Meaning, maybe it's a sharecropper. Maybe it's somebody else's granary. So the Gemara says, Ve'ich botan lashmin and gavra artilai delesley velo klom. So the Gemara says, really? Really? You think that's what the Mishnah is talking about? The Mishnah is talking about a guy right now who is naked. And now we don't have to take that so super literally. But you understand. Like, he doesn't have any articles of clothing that doesn't belong to him. He doesn't have any property. And really, that's what the Mishnah is going all the way there. So, so the Gemara says, let's go to the probably more probable situation, scenario. He does have something to affect Kenyan Sudr. And the Mishnah is there to teach us that you can't transfer money through Kenyan Sudr. So the Gemara basically says, you know what? It seems that Rav Papa is not right. That you can't affect, you can't use money itself as a Kenyan Sudr, and I also can't transfer money through Kenyan Sudr as well. V'af Rav Papa ha-debay, and the Gemara says, you know what? I'll tell you the truth. Rav Papa, even after upon further consideration himself, reversed his position and also agreed that I cannot transfer money through Kenyan Sudr. How do I know that? Ki hadu Rav Papa havale treisa afa dinari bechuzai. We saw this already before in the Gemara. This was back at the end, towards the end of Baba Kama. Rav Papa had money that was owed to him in a distant place called Bechuzai, and he wanted someone to go pick up the money for him. So he's going to ask Rav Shmuel Bar Acha to go pick up the money for him. But when Rav Shmuel Bar Acha gets over there to Bechuzai, he knows what's going to happen. The borrowers in Bechuzai say, the debtors in Bechuzai are going to look at him and say, who are you? Meaning if Rav Papa were here, we would give him the money. But you're just a shliach. And we also know that if anything happens to the money on the way back to back to Rav Papa, we're still going to be on the hook. We're not giving you the money. So what Rav Papa does is that he transfers the debt over to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha. So when Rav Shmuel Bar Acha comes, he can say, hey, it's me. Meaning I'm the owner of the debt. I bought the debt. Now, how did he transfer over the debt over to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha? Agav asipa debeisei, so he did it with through Kenyan Agav. Meaning he transferred some of his property over to Rav Shmuel, and in conjunction with that, this is a classic Kenyan Agav, in conjunction with the property, he also transferred the debt as well. So the Gemara says, ki asa anafik la'apei atavach. And when Rav Shmuel Bar Acha is coming back with the money, with this immense amount of money, so Rav Papa was so excited. But now, why didn't Rav Papa transfer the debt over using Kenyan Sudr? The answer is because Rav Papa reversed his position. Rav Papa says that you can't transfer money through Kenyan Sudr. V'chein amar ula in madbe'a nasa chalipin, v'chein amar avasi in madbe'a nasa chalipin, v'chein amar rabba bar b'chana amar av yochanin in madbe'a nasa chalipin. And now the Gemara just cited a litany of Amoraim who are all agreeing to the position that coin cannot be used as a mechanism to affect Kenyan Sudr. Eisve Rabbi Abba Leula Harish Ayucham Rav Paul of Tovin Oso B'Shuk. So the Gemara now quotes a Mishnah. Let's say your donkey drivers and your workers are demanding that you get paid. That they get paid. Okay. In other words, your workers are basically coming over to you, and the employers are saying, "Okay, it's time to pay." V'amr l'shulchani tein li b'dinar ma'oz v'afar nesem v'ani alalach yafa dinar v'trisus mimosh yesh li b'beisei. So the employer goes over to the money changer, and the employer says to the money changer, "Look, do me a favor. You're going to give me copper coins right now, and what I'll do is I will give you from my house a dinar together with treses, together with a little bit more than that as well. Right? Yafe dinar vitreses. So that I have in my house. So, im yesh lamos motor v'im lavasar. Now, if the employer has the money in his house right now, we're good. If the employer does not have the money in his house right now, we're not good. Now, let me explain this a little bit better. We know there's an issue in the Torah of what's called ribbis. You can't borrow money and pay back with more money from Jew to Jew. Okay, this is the issue of interest. Fifth parak of Bamitzia, we're going to be discussing this extensively. Here's what we know. Interest is only when I'm taking money from you with the promise to pay you back at a later point in time. However, if I want to purchase money from you and I want to give you more money right now, that is not an isser of ribbis. Ribbis is only when it's a loan that allows me time to pay you back. But if we're going to do a direct transfer, even if it's not dollar for dollar transfer, even if I'm going to be paying you more than what it is right now, that's perfectly legitimate. And over here, right now, I need the money right now, and I have money in my house. So I'm not borrowing money from you. I'm actually going to create a transfer right here, right now. And because I need the money right now, I'm willing to give you more money than what I'm taking from you right now. And this is not an interest-bearing loan. This is perfectly legitimate. So this is what the Braisa says the employer could do. Go to the money changer, get the copper coins from him with the promise that he's going to pay him even a little bit more. And the Braisa says that as long as he has the money in his house, everything checks. If he doesn't have the money in his house, so then this qualifies as a loan. And because there's a promise to pay more, that's called interest, and therefore it's usur. Does it look like ribbis? Not if he has money in his house. No. Now, the Gemara says, what is the mechanism of transfer? The Gemara is assuming the mechanism of transfer is the coin itself, meaning the coin is serving as chalipin. So then if that's true, so then we're good. Because again, the moment he takes the money from the money changer, so that money now is going to serve as the means in which we're going to effect the transfer immediately. And that is what we need in order to avoid ribbis.
The coin as currency.
Huh?
You're not looking at it as a currency.
Right. So the Gemara says, but if we're using it, if we're looking at it as a currency transaction, not a chalipin transaction, so that means that the kinyan is not effective immediately, and that's a problem. Because then we are looking at ribbis. So ishtik, so that's a strong question, and he was quiet. Amarle dama idi v'idi b'prutatos shanu deleika alehu tiva. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we could say like this. Maybe even though the Braisa seems to be talking about where he's taking coins from the money changer, maybe, or they're not coins, but maybe they're like slugs. They're pieces of metal. What the Gemara describes as prutatos. So the Gemara says unminted coins. And remember, the only reason why, we go back to what we learned at the beginning of Shir today, the only reason why you can't affect Kinyan Chalipin with money is because money as a currency is limited. In other words, it's not going to last for a very long time. But if we're talking about slugs, where it's unminted coins, so then the Gemara says that would be fine. So the Gemara says, and so therefore that's why chalipin in this case would work. Amalei in. The Gemara says, that sounds great. In fact, once you look back at the Braisa and reread the Braisa again more carefully, more critically, it says yafa dinar. In other words, it's something equivalent to a dinar, but we're not talking about actually money itself. Shema mina. So the Gemara says we can conclude. Rav Ashi Amar Lo Olam B'damim Over Prutatos Kevin De Islay Nasik Omer Haveni Ashi Abo B'ni O Achi Imse Mafteach. The Gemara says that maybe we could be talking about where the money's in his house. And remember, even though we said that you cannot make an exchange of metal for metal, or commodity for commodity, this is the Issur D'Rabbanan of Sa'a B'Sa'a. But like we said a couple days ago, and what like the Gemara is reviewing for us right now, if you have the item in your house at the time, so then there's no Issur D'Rabbanan of Sa'a B'Sa'a. Tashma Kol Anasa Damim Ba'Acher Kemish Ezachah Zen Ischayv Zeh B'Chalipin. So we go back to our Mishnah. If you if you give money over to somebody, so then it affects an immediate transaction. Now, in the context of our Mishnah, it certainly sounds like we're talking about coins. And the simple reading of our Mishnah, the beginning of the fourth paragraph of Matzia, would seem to indicate that coins can be used as chalipin, contrary to all the Amarim that we quoted up above. Amar Yehuda Achikama. We now turn to the top of Memvav Amud Beis. Kol Hanishon Damim Ba'Acher. Kevin Shezachazeh Nitzchayev Zeh Bechalipin. So, anything that is appraised for money, meaning movable items, once we do an exchange one for the other, so that exchange creates an immediate kinyan because it's a barter. So the Gemara says, Hachanami Mistapa, the Gemara says, that's what the Mishnah means. Midiktani Seifa Ketzid Hichlev Shor Beparo Chamor Beshor Shmamina. So the Gemara says, and in fact, when you read on the Mishnah, what does the Mishnah illustrate? Cases of classic barter, a cow for a donkey. So the Mishnah was not, when the Mishnah was talking about making an exchange one for another, the Mishnah was not talking about coin. The Mishnah was talking about a classic barter. So the Gemara says, "Oh my," said Salakadaita Mikar Matbeya, my ketzad. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you this. Meaning, let's go back to the Havamina. Meaning, admittedly, we just rejected it. But let's for a moment go back to the Havamina. In the Havamina, we discussed using a coin as a method of chalipin. Gemara says, but then what did the Mishnah do? The Mishnah then said ketzad, and then the Mishnah gave a classic example of a barter, of a cow for a donkey. Meaning, how did you understand the Mishnah in the Havamina? So Hachi Kamar, the Gemara says, here's how I understood it. Upeire, when it comes to fruit, nami avde chalipin. Fruit can also be used as chalipin as well. Ketzad hichlif shor bepara, o chamor beshor. So the Gemara says that what the Mishnah was doing is, not only can I create chalipin through money, on top of that, I can also create chalipin through items as well. Now, hani chalav Rav Sheshes Amar Peira Avdi Chalipin. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. According to Rav Sheshes, that works out fine. Because as we haven't even learned this yet, but we're going to learn this over the course of tomorrow's daf. According to Rav Sheshes, non-kalim can be used as chalipin. El Rav Nachman Amar Kli in Avaperelo Avde Chalipin my Ketzad, but according to Rav Nachman, then it really doesn't make sense, because we know that according to Rav Nachman, we don't know this yet, but we're going to see. According to Rav Nachman, I can only use a kli to affect chalipin. I can't use a non kli. So now, again, I'm befuddled by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if I do an exchange, it's just like doing a barter between a cow and a donkey. Cow and donkeys are not kalim; they're not. And so therefore, the method of kinyan over there is not chalipin. So then how do we transition from chalipin to, according to Rav Nachman, a barter, not chalipin, a barter between a cow and a donkey? So Hachi Kamar, the Gemara says, okay, you're right. This is what the Mishnah must mean. Yesh damim shein ke chalipin. Sometimes we can do a currency for commodity to exchange that actually will behave like a barter. Let's explain what that means. Ketzan. Hichlif demeshor bepara o demechamor beshor. If we were to exchange the value of a cow for a donkey, or the value of a donkey for a cow. Meaning that basically what we're going to do is that we're going to do a currency commodity exchange, but it's going to behave like a classic barter. So my time at Rav Nachman, Savalak, Rav Yochanan, and Amar. Now the Gemara says, let's explain this better. So we're talking about a currency for commodity exchange. What does that mean? It's going to behave like a barter. It doesn't behave like a barter. So the Gemara now goes on to elaborate. How can we have a currency for commodity exchange behave like a barter in the following scenario? First of all, we have to subscribe to Rav Yochanan. Da'amar dvar Torah's Maos Konos. According to Rav Yochanan, money affects a kinyan. Now I know that goes contrary to everything I said up until now, but let's give it a moment, because we're going to explain. According to Rav Yochanan, money affects a kinyan. And you know what the Chachamim did? They blocked it, meaning that min haTorah money works. If we agree to a currency for commodity exchange, and I give you the money and I give you the currency, I acquire the item. The Chachamim said no. You don't acquire the item. Why would they do that? So we've said this many times throughout Shas. This is the central point of discussion. So because, and the reason why the Chachamim blocked it is because, look, consider, I gave you currency for product. Okay, so now Minatora, what happens? I acquire the product, and so now the product's sitting on your property, and meanwhile belongs to me. A fire breaks out. How motivated are you going to be to save my product? Now, if you're like me, you'll be very motivated. But again, this is business we're talking about. So like, dislike, I'm not risking my life for product that doesn't belong to me. So that's why the Chachamim said to protect the buyer, the Chachamim said that you don't acquire an item until you pull the item. So it's the Chachamim who blocked the purchasing power of currency. And now, so the Gemara says, yes, it's true that they blocked it, but under normal circumstances, not in unusual circumstances. What would be an unusual circumstance? Let's say that you sold me a cow. You sold me a cow, now I owe you the money. So right now, I have the money in my possession, which truth of the matter is I owe you. Because you sold me a cow. And I say to you as follows, you know what? Let's do the following. I owe you the money, but the truth of the matter is that I'd like your donkey. So what I'll do is that I'll take your donkey and just let's forgive the money that I owe you. So now that's how the Gemara is treating the Mishnah. So basically, the money is going to be forgiven for the donkey that I take from you.
If you owe him money and you take his donkey, you want to owe him more money, no? What are you going to forgive?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go in the other direction. In other words, I'm sorry. I'll sell. You're right. I'm sorry. I'll sell you the donkey. Thank you. I'll sell you the donkey, and in terms of the payment will be the money that I owe you. We'll just forgive that.
We'll call it a wash.
Right. In other words, then we'll call it a wash. Under those circumstances, we're going to say that really the money creates the acquisition. Meaning, even though it's a currency for commodity exchange, now the currency over here is really the forgiveness of money, but it's a currency for commodity exchange. And normally what we say is that the Chachamim blocked the currency's buying power, and that really the transaction is not going to be completed until the commodity is taken. But since over here this is such an unusual circumstance, so therefore this is a milsa de lo shchicha, so therefore the Chachamim allowed this to occur. And basically what we did in this very somewhat complicated scenario is we basically offered some pshat in the Mishnah so that the Mishnah is not to be read in the simplest level. Meaning the Mishnah is just not talking about a classic barter. The Mishnah is actually describing a currency for commodity exchange that behaves like a kinyan chalipin. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick